This is Franz again, and I'm going to be posting this podcast on both my Travel Trade Exchange website as well as my MedSailor website. The subject matter is apropos to both sites, and I have some people that listen to one and not the other, and I didn't want to have to make two separate podcasts, so I thought I'd just do one and post it in both places. So where I left off in my last podcast was that I had sailed from Croatia through Montenegro into Albania, and then just had finished up in Greece when I sort of ran out of steam talking about the summer sail. I'm going to continue on today talking about part of my sail through Greece. Once I got to Greece, I had to clear customs, and I had to clear customs in Corfu. And I've done it in Corfu before, as have a lot of boats. And Greece has a very antiquated system. First, you have to go to the customs office and present your papers. Then you have to go through passport control. Then you have to go to the port police. And at each place, you pay a little money, with the exception of passport control. At passport control, they just basically stamp your passport, and that's about it. Now, this is a major entry point for a lot of sailors and other yachts and other boats that visit Greece. So you would think that they would have the learning curve down on how to clear a boat in. When I arrived, I tied up at the customs dock, took all the boat papers, and told my crew to stay on board because technically they're not supposed to get off the boat until we've cleared into the country. I walk up to the customs office and I go in, and it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the man at the customs office said, "Hey, we close at 5. And I said, "Well, I know, it's 4. He said, "Well, it's too late. It's too late. I said, no. He said, "Come back tomorrow." And this seems to be a typical attitude of Greek bureaucrats. I said, "No, I don't want to come back tomorrow. I'm here right now. Let's do it right now." He sort of just shook his head and said, "Oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But hey, come on." I just basically pressured him into going ahead and clearing me in. And I said, "Hey, listen, I'll fill out the paperwork. You just do what you need to do, and I'll fill out the paperwork." So I filled out the paperwork for him, which basically was asking the name of the boat, the tonnage, the registration, where it was, where the crew was from, and so forth. And then he and his compatriot there were two people in the office, basically sitting around taking up space, started arguing over a receipt. And it took literally a half an hour for them to come to a conclusion on how to fill out a receipt for me, giving me a bill for about 6.5 euros. Now, you would think that they would have this learning curve down after maybe 20 years on the job, but apparently not. Well, nonetheless, I took care of that. And you have to have a sense of humor with this sort of a situation, but that's just the way it is. So after that, I went to passport control, and they actually did have a computer. The customs office had no computers. It was a bunch of old, dusty ledgers, and they would put the name of the boat and the date and so forth. And I think they've been keeping the same system for the last 300 years. So you can go back into their archives and find the boats, handwritten notes of the boats that came here. And I know a historian, again, I mentioned Galina Harlafsis in my last podcast, that has done just that. She's gone through a lot of these old customs documents to determine the shipping activity and past history, but that's another story. So go to the customs. So the customs office was first, and then I went to the passport control, and they stamped our passports in. There were three of us on the boat, and then I went to the took a long walk and walked across the harbor to the port police. They seemed to actually know what they were doing. They filled out a form and had me pay some money, and I don't remember exactly what I paid, but I think it was around $150 altogether for my entry procedure into Greece. So with that out of the way, I turned around and took my crew up to Govia Marina, where they left the next day. We went out to supper that night, and they left. Now, Govia Marina is a top-quality marina. It's very nice, very clean, very well-run. They've got every service a yachter needs. And I had to buy some new batteries there. And the batteries, I don't know if I mentioned last podcast, were about $800. So really expensive yacht batteries. My batteries were not holding a charge, so it was time to get some new batteries for the boat. I left there, and I was by myself for a few days. So the first day the crew left, I spent the day putting the batteries in and rewiring the batteries and taking the old batteries out. And these batteries are heavy, heavy, heavy batteries. And I was taking Motrin as soon as I was done with that job. Next morning, I got up and I wandered around the marina. I took a few videos around the marina. I'm not sure if I'll post them on YouTube or not. But by the way, I have posted quite a few videos on my YouTube channel, and that YouTube channel is medsailor.com, spelled out all the way, medsailordotcom. I wanted just to do medsailor.com, but with a period com, but apparently that one was taken, and I would have rather just had medsailor, but that one was taken too. So you do what you have to do. The website, nonetheless, is just medsailor.com. So I've posted a few videos there, and also I've linked to some of those videos on the website. I sail up to the northern part of Corfu and go back to one of my favorite little villages called Cassiope. And I went back up to Cassiope because I needed to return a book that I had borrowed from Galena Harlafsis. Galena Harlafsis is a world-renowned economic maritime historian who teaches at the University of Corfu. She had loaned me a book several years earlier called Ploto, P-L-O-T-O, and it was a big, heavy book, and she wanted it back because it was out of print. It was one of the few copies available, and it was in English. There might be other copies available in Greek, but this one was in English. And it was a book with a lot of information about the Greek shipping families, the islands they came from, the people they married. And so that was very useful for me in both writing the book that I've talked about as well as my master's thesis. But I needed to get it back to her, and it was too expensive to ship, and I decided to take it back to her this year. So I was by myself. I headed back up to Cassiope, dropped my hook, and backed into the mull. Tried to call her, and I wasn't getting a response from her. She wasn't returning my calls, and I determined she must be out of town. She travels a lot, going to various conferences, and I needed to get this book back to her. So I rented a scooter, and her family owns a hotel in the northern part of Greece called the Galena Holiday Village. So I rode it up there and gave it to the concierge at the hotel and made sure she got it. So I spent some time, as long as I had a motor scooter, I liked to ride around and just check out the area. So I rode up in the hills behind the coast and wandered up through these little tiny streets, little tiny roads, through the olive groves. And they had a lot of nets spread out to catch the olives as they fell off the trees. And I'd seen pictures of this in the past, but I'd never seen it up close. It was a beautiful olive forest, some old, old olive trees, and they had the net all spread out, and I didn't see them actually harvesting the olives, but I saw all the nets that had been spread out to capture the olives. I saw a lot of property that was for sale, and I tried to call on one of the properties to see what they were asking for it, and I wasn't able to communicate with the person to answer the phone, or there was a miscommunication, but nonetheless, I didn't get any prices, but there did seem to be quite a supply of property and houses available to purchase if you're so inclined in that area. Now, I travel from place to place, and I don't find that I've had the desire to put down roots in any specific spot that I've traveled to. I like to have a boat and move around from place to place. So I was just curious, and I was going to pass on that information to some friends that might have a stronger interest than I do. So anyway, I get back to the boat, and I take the scooter back, and I spend another day or so at this little village's town. And this is a delightful town to visit if you have a chance. I like it a lot more than the town of Corfu, but that's just my own personal preference. And the next day, it was when I headed back down to pick up my next crew, was going to join me in Corfu. And I also had to pick up a local phone when I was up here because I need to have a way for people to get a hold of me by phone. I don't always have internet access on the boat, but usually there's a cell signal that you can pick up if you have a phone. So I got a cell phone, or I should say just a SIM card, which I put into my phone. And if you're an American, most of the phones we have are locked. I had an unlocked iPhone that used the GSM. It was a T-Mobile phone that had been unlocked. So I was able just to take that SIM card out of that and put a new one in with a Greek phone number. My next crew called me, and we arranged to get them on the boat, and I was a little peeved, I guess is the diplomatic way of saying it, when I picked them up. This is a crew that was sort of came as a last minute because the crew I had planned on having join me had to back out because of the illness of an elderly parent. There was a concern that their parent might pass away while they were traveling, and they didn't want that to occur, so they canceled, and I had to put in another crew at a last minute. And these were people I didn't know, and they were referrals from a friend of mine. And they were fine. My big problem was they brought so damn much luggage. Now, on my boat's a small boat. And first of all, I never allow anybody to bring hard luggage on a boat because you can't put it in the spaces you have. You have very little space. If you're ever getting on a boat, if you're a guest on a boat, take a duffel bag or anything that is not hard. No wheels, no hard frames, duffel bags. At least they did bring duffel bags or soft luggage that could be pretty much crammed anywhere you needed to cram it. But the trouble is they brought too much. They had three big bags each. And this set me off on the wrong foot. I had to bite my tongue. They were going to be with me for a week, and we made the best of it. So we sailed from Corfu across over to the little town of Sivota, Sivota, which is over on the mainland, and was probably about a 15-20 mile motor. There was no wind, so we ended up motoring over there. Spent the night, and I'd been to Sivota, probably 15 years earlier, and it had been developed a lot since then. The waterfront was filled with tourists, very busy. They'd put in a new services for boats to tie up to the marina. A lot of restaurants, a lot of tourists. It had really, really changed over the last 15 years. I'm sure it's better for the economy there. They've got a lot of vacation homes that have been built up around the shoreline. It seems to be a popular tourist spot. I wasn't particularly enamored by it. It was okay. It was nice. It was a good first stop for the night for my new crew because it was just, it's always a culture shock to get on a boat as small as mine. So we anchored between the island and the mainland and then took the dinghy over to the waterfront and went out to dinner. And the next morning we left and sailed on over to one of my favorite islands, and that's Paxi. And we've stopped in the town of Gaios, G-A-I-O-S. This is a really pretty, picture-perfect town. I think I've got some videos I may post on the website. And I've been to this little marina or this little town probably 4 or 5 times over the last 10, 15 years. And it's a beautiful little spot to visit. A lot of tour boats come down from Corfu and drop people off for the day. I stayed there 2 nights. We stayed in Gaios 2 nights. And then headed south. And then south we sailed from there down through Levkas Canal. If you're a sailor, if you look at the map, you can see that there's a road that goes across there. And you have to wait for the bridge to open up, a bridge that you have to go through. So you have to get there and then sort of wait till they open the bridge. And then you head down through a long canal you go by the town of Lefkas, which has a big marina, and I didn't stop in the marina. We just turned the corner and anchored just to the left of the entrance to the big water, sort of across a little bit, about maybe 2 miles north of the town of Nidri. But it was just a little anchorage by a little tiny local boat marina. It's not used by yachts at all. It's just the fishing boats that operate near there. And we spent the night there. And the next day we sailed up to a town called Palaiaros, P-A-L-A-I-R-O-S, and had lunch there. And then from there we sailed down to Megalanese Island and spent the night in the town of Megalanese. You know, all in all, pretty nice sailing. We had a nice downwind sail from Palaiaros down to Megalanese, and we anchored in Megalanese, and we were able to refill the water tanks there. And then from there, the next day we sailed on down to probably my all-time favorite little picture-perfect port on the island of Ithaca called Kioni. K-I-O-N-I, and it's turned out that I'm not the only person that likes this little town. The harbor was packed with yachts. I was able to squeeze in, and I thought there was no more room for anybody else, but yet another two boats came in and squoze in next to me. Very, very crowded. I was a little angry with one boat that came in because I didn't think there was enough room for this boat to be in there, but, you know, I was a bit of a jerk, I have to admit it. I was a bit of a jerk, and I was arguing with the person, but in hindsight, after I cooled down a little bit, I realized that they had as much of a right to be there as I did, and there really was room if I moved over a little bit, and so I apologized for my poor behavior, and let it go at that. The boat that came in next to me was a boat with a crew from Turkey. It was a Turkish boat. And I started thinking about all the kind random acts of kindness I'd received from Turks in the past, and I was thinking I was being a bit of a jerk to them, so I apologized, and they were fine with that, and life went on. But it's a beautiful, beautiful little town called Kioni, and to get there, you can take there's a couple ferries that stop around there, but sometimes they can get into the dock and sometimes not. There was one ferry that came in, and another boat was already tied up at the ferry dock and wasn't leaving, so they just sort of said, okay, here you go, take your pictures, and they turned around and left. I went around and wandered around through the village. I'd been there a lot of times in the past. In fact, one year I kept going back to this little harbor, and the locals started to get to know me and would see me, oh, you're back again, you're back again. So it's sort of nice to go to a place like that. The next day, we sailed down to the main town on Ithaca called, it's actually called Ithaca, the town of Ithaca on Ithaca. And this is the big town. It's not that big a town, but it's the main town on the island of Ithaca. And it was, I've been there several times again as well, and it was nice. Refueled down there, which I needed to do. Spent the night. Went out to supper there. I got to say, I really got tired of Greek food after a full summer of Greek food. If I went to Greece and I opened up a restaurant, I'd open up a Thai restaurant. Just some variety. I mean, for crying out loud, there's only so much Greek food you can eat without wanting a change. Next day, I decided I sailed around the island, and then the next day we went over to Fiskardo. My crew got off in Fiskardo the next morning, and I was by myself for about a week, which was nice to be by myself. I like the challenge of solo sailing, and I like my own company for a little while. Spent a couple days in Fiskardo, took the dinghy out, and went snorkeling a lot. And then left Fiskardo. Fiskardo, by the way, is on the island of Kefalonia, and it's probably the most popular tourist village on the island of Kefalonia. There's several other tourist villages and that, but Fiskardo's got some nice architecture. I might post some videos and some pictures of it. But it's a nice little town, and I've been there a lot in the past. I'll tell a quick story. There was a there was this cafe in Fiscardo, and it was run by a French woman, Catherine Marmot was her name, or is her name. She's still there, from what I understand. But she played the kind of music I like, and she had a great sound system. She played some classical jazz. And I would take my cruise back and forth between Ithaca and Fiscardo and Megalenisi that summer. And I was spending that year basically sailing the Ionian Islands. So I kept coming back and back and back to this little town of Fiscardo. And I would go to this little shop, and I'd always order a cup of coffee and sit down and read my book or do something, because I was just letting my guests wander around the town, and I was enjoying my solitude and the opportunity to read a book in this little place that had this great music. Anyway, so several years go by, and I'm bringing my boat back again from one place or another. I think it may have been the next year, but I pull into this coffee shop, and it's changed hands, and the man that owns it is now a Greek who came from Canada. And I sat down with him, and I said, what happened? She said, Catherine sold it to me, and I'm operating it now. And, you know, of course, she took the great sound system away, and he didn't have the same taste in music that I did. But he told me a story. He said he ran a business up in Canada, I think in Toronto. And from what I understood, it was an adult entertainment type business. And had sold that business, and he went down there, and his cousin owned a coffee shop on Kefaloni, and so he wanted to come down there and do that as well. But as soon as he got off the plane in Athens, they grabbed him. The military police came and grabbed him and took him away and threw him into the military. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, apparently in Greece, you're considered Greek going back to your grandfather or great-grandfather. And even though he had never lived in Greece, he was considered a citizen of Greece by heritage. And as a citizen of Greece, he had to serve 6 months in the army. So he ended up spending 6 months in the army before he could go get his restaurant. And it really wasn't a restaurant. It was really more of a coffee bar or a drink bar, didn't serve food. It served some snacks and drinks more than anything else. But anyway, that he had to serve that time before he could go run his coffee shop. So anyway, this summer when I went back to that same restaurant, he apparently had gone out of business, and now it was being operated by another group of people. So these little coffee shops change hands quite a bit. So I sailed from there by myself back over to Ithaca and went down to southern Ithaca, not to a town, but just to an open anchorage in the southern end of the Ithaca. And there's no town around it, so I won't tell you where it is. It doesn't really matter. It was just an anchorage. And the next morning I got up early and started motoring towards the mainland Greece. So, I mean, my goal is to get through... My goal is to get over to the town of Galaxidi to pick up my next crew, because that's where they're going to be joining me, and is in Galaxidi. So I'm sailing along, and I could stop once I got to the mainland. There's a little port where Lord Byron died, and I'd stopped there before, and they had a new marina. But the town was a long ways away from the marina, and it wasn't a particularly interesting town. And I can't remember the name of it. I can probably... look it up here in a second. Just a second, I'll tell you what the name of that town is. The name of the town is Mesologu. I think it's Mesologgiou. And it's really flat there, so you go up a long, flat canal to get to the main anchorage area. But anyway, I didn't stop there. I just kept going. And as I started going, the wind started picking up from my stern, and I sailed under the big bridge that goes through over the Gulf of Patra. And I don't understand this, but there's this big, big, brand-new bridge, multi-lane highway bridge that goes from the Peloponnese Peninsula over to the mainland. And as I'm approaching this bridge, what I see are ferries going back and forth. So they have this bridge, and in addition to the bridge, they've got about, I counted, seven different ferries that were serving the same area that the bridge was serving. And I thought, well, that's crazy. And I questioned a person later on about it, and they said, well, there's a big toll on the bridge, and it's cheaper to take the ferries. Well, okay. Well, the ferries use a lot of fuel. Why don't we just lower the toll on the bridge and move the ferries to some place where it's more economical for ferries to run? I mean, where there's more of a demand for it. But apparently, people didn't want to pay the high toll on the bridge, so they'd take the ferries back and forth. What can I say? I wanted to go visit the town of Navpactos, which is a classic old walled city, and I went there years ago when I was moving the boat to Croatia, and I stopped by there, but it was too windy and too difficult to anchor in there, and there was really no room in the bay. So I wanted to go see this town this time, but as I approached, the wind was so strong, I was running downwind just with my staysail, and I was moving pretty fast. It was a lot of fun, great sailing, but the waves were building up, and it was dangerous to enter the harbor. And there was a boat at anchor outside the harbor, and he was just getting bucked up and down. He looked like he was in a dangerous situation. So I just continued on and went to the island of Trezona, which is one of my favorite little islands in the Gulf of Corinth. It's a little bit east of Galaxidi. It's just a little island, and they've got a nice, big, very safe anchorage for boats. And it's right across the, you can, if you visit the town of Glyfada, it's the island just off the front of Glyfada on the mainland Greece. And you can take a ferry back and forth. And if you want a really quiet vacation, that would be a nice island to visit. They've got a nice waterfront. But what I found interesting about this marina was somebody had put a lot of money into developing this marina. And then and my understanding was that, when Greece joined the EU put a lot of money into developing various infrastructure projects in Greece, and this was one of them. Well, they built this big new marina. All the Greeks had to do was put up some small facilities, like possibly a shower and a toilet and central office, and they'd be able to charge people for anchoring in this marina. Well, they never bothered doing that, so it's a nice big marina with free anchorage, and a lot of boats will just go in there in winter, leave their boats there over the winter, and not pay a dime. And the other thing I noticed is there'd been a boat that had sunk at the marina. It looked like it had been sunk fairly recently, so I went and put on my mask and snorkel and swam over there. And no, it had been down there for years. It was basically rotting on the bottom, and nobody was cleaning it up, and it was just filling up the marina, taking up space. So nobody's maintaining the marina. Nobody's doing anything for the marina. It's just it was basically a rat hole that somebody threw a lot of money into and never got any return out of. But nonetheless, it's one of my favorite stopover spots. I stopped there and spent about 3 or 4 days just wandered around, read books, and took pictures. So from there, I headed over to Galaxidi, nice little port. And if you're ever going to visit Delphi, that would be a town to stop at. You've got a couple choices. There's a town called Aitia, or the town of Delphi. Or if you go just a little bit farther, the town of Galaxidi. And Galaxidi would be my choice. It's a beautiful little town. It's got a great maritime heritage, some of the shipping families in Greece came from the town of Galaxidi. And I've been there 3 times in the past, and it's still one of my favorite spots to stop at. I backed into the marina, and there taking my lines was a guy by the name of Antonio, who seems to greet every sailor that comes through. And I saw him the last time I was there, and he actually sent me an email Christmas card. He puts everybody in his email list and sends them out. And so I recognized him, and he recognized my boat, and it was nice to see a friendly face. Talk about communications here. I had this iPhone that had been unlocked, and every time I would pull into a port, I would just go find a Wi-Fi internet cafe, or I mean just any cafe that had Wi-Fi, And I would be able to connect to Skype and call my family. So it was so convenient just having an iPhone with that application on already installed. Now, I have Skype on my computer, but then I'd have to go in, plug in the computer, and get the Wi-Fi connection on the computer, which always seems to be more difficult. The iPhone would work just perfectly. So it was nice to have that application. So if you're traveling, I'd recommend that application. My next crew joined me in Galaxy City. They were from Salt Lake. They're clients. They were great. Dave and Rosemary. They were a lot of fun. The problem was Rosemary didn't swim. She was getting on the boat in Galaxy City and she fell in the water and she was very nervous. We were able to get her out, but folks, let me tell you about this. The Mediterranean, it's impossible to sink in the Mediterranean. You jump in the Mediterranean and you bob like a cork. And we eventually got Rosemary so she would get in the water and float, and that was a big step forward. But I find that so alien. I grew up swimming, and I just find it, I just don't understand people that don't know how to swim. It's so ingrained in my psyche that, you know, I jump in the water without thinking. And I've been that way since I was a little kid. So first couple days she was nervous, but after that she felt pretty comfortable in the cockpit. So we sailed from there and we went through the Corinth Canal. And as soon as we went through the Corinth Canal, we ended up spending another day in Galaxy City because the weather started kicking up. We left the next day after they arrived. We turned the corner, went out, and the winds were right on our nose. And I said, let's turn around. So we went back and spent another night in Galaxy City. And the following morning, we left early in the morning. It was pretty calm. And we sailed over and went through the Corinth Canal. Well, as soon as we went through the Corinth Canal, the weather changed entirely. And this is not uncommon. This is well known among sailors that once you leave the Gulf of Corinth and enter into the Saronic Gulf and the Aegean side, the weather really changes. It's totally different weather patterns from one side to the other. Very strong winds. It wasn't that strong the day we went through the Corinth Canal, but it developed stronger as time went on. We sailed around to the town of Corfos, K-O-R-F-O-S, spent a night there. Not particularly enamoring. I mean, it was a good anchorage, a good safe anchorage, but the town didn't have very much charm. And from there, the next day we sailed on over to Poros. Poros is a nice town. We ended up spending three nights in Poros, and one of those days, again, because the weather was strong, we were starting to experience the Maltimes, and so we were waiting for the wind to moderate. We got on a ferry and took it down to Hydra, which was a nice day, just to go down to the island of Hydra and walk around. Now, Hydra is known because they don't allow any motorized vehicles with the exception of the garbage trucks. And so we went down there, spent a day, and it's a beautiful town to go walk around. And I think a lot of people go spend their vacations there, and that's a nice place. Everywhere else in Greece, you hear the zzzz of motor scooters all the time, day and night, and it gets a little wearing. But back to Poros, and then we sailed on over to Kithnos, and as I'm doing this podcast, I'm uploading a video of our anchorage in Kithnos. And I think I've gone on for about 30 minutes now, so that's going to be enough for today. So we'll leave it at Kithnos, and I'll come back and we'll start in at Kithnos for the next episode of The Summer Sail. I recommend, if you have a chance, pick up my books. They're on my website. One's on Greek shipping and the other's on bareboat yacht chartering in Turkey. If you're thinking of chartering a yacht in Turkey, I think this would be a good book to have. It'll give you some basic information on the marinas you'd be visiting, the areas you'll be visiting, and the charter companies that operate out of Turkey. If I don't get enough sales of this book, I won't bother with the next one, which would be yacht chartering in Greece. So far, it was a lot of work for not much return. We'll see. Anyway, I appreciate you listening to the podcast. And if you get a chance, go over and visit the websites, www.traveltradeexchange.com. And if you have some good stories to tell, please submit an MP3 file. You can submit it to me any number of ways. You can just email it to me. That's probably the easiest way. And the email you could use is cdream@medsailor.com or franz@traveltradeexchange.com, either one. If you have sailing stories to tell of your travels in the Mediterranean, I'd like to interview you for future podcasts. Also, I want to expand the medsailor.com website to include information of marinas and charter operations that operate in the Mediterranean. So if you're in that business and you have a story to tell about the services you offer and you can make it interesting, let's do an interview. Contact me and we'll arrange that. So again, thank you for listening, and hopefully I'll get another one of these up next week.